It's That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
If it seems unlikely that crotchety people are related, at least etymologically, to those who do crochet, stay tuned.
That's What They Say. I'm Rebecca Hector. With us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hey there, Ann.
Hello, Rebecca.
I love this week's question so much. This comes from Ralph. Ralph referred to the segment that you and I did on mug. And I know I mentioned mug being something a crotchety uncle might talk about as having an ugly mug. Ralph says, what an odd adjective. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with an area of the body or with crocheting. So what gives? And what gives?
What gives is that the etymology here may surprise people, which is that, in fact, crotchety and crochet are related because they both go back to a French word for hook, crochet.
I never put those two together until we got this question and I saw them actually written next to each other. They're spelled the same way.
So what happens here is that first we borrow this French word into English in the 1400s for a hook. And in English, it comes to be pronounced crotchet. And it is especially an ornamental hook for on a dress, like a fastening dress, a robe. It also takes on references in surgery for a hook. Over time, it takes on additional meanings in music and typography and elsewhere. For our purposes, what's important is that in the 1500s, a crotchet comes to refer to a whimsical fancy, to quote the Oxford English Dictionary, or an odd notion that someone has, often in opposition to widely held views. So you'll get phrases like whims and crotchets. And it actually still is in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as a crotchet as a highly individual and usually eccentric opinion or preference. And this is where we get crotchety. In the mid-1800s, crotchety means given to or full of crotchets. So given to whims or eccentricities. And over time, that undergoes what we'd call pejoration. It gets more negative and comes to refer to someone who is cranky, crotchety. So there you've got crotchety. And then crochet is borrowed in the mid-1800s for knitting done with a hooked needle. So you can see the hook is relevant to both.
It's all hooked together.
And Rebecca, since we're talking about hooks and how these words change over time, I thought we should talk about the word cranky because there's an interesting parallel here. If you think about the word crank, so you've got a crank for the bent part of an axle, of course, that you can turn. And over time, that comes to refer to a crooked path. And by the late 1500s, a crank can refer to a twist or a fanciful turn of speech. So you'll get phrasing like quips and cranks.
I like that.
I do too.
We should bring it back.
So you've got quips and cranks. And then by the mid-1800s, a crank, and Rebecca, this is going to sound familiar, can refer to an eccentric notion or action. Sounds like a crotchet. And so once you've got crank meaning that, it can also refer to a person who is prone to taking up eccentric notions. And the editors of the Oxford English Dictionary actually define a crank as especially one who is enthusiastically possessed by a particular crotchet or hobby.
Like crocheting.
So Merriam-Webster to this day defines a crank as an annoyingly eccentric person or, and I think this is the way many of us use it, a bad-tempered person, a grouch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really think about it as being eccentric so much as being somebody who's crabby or ornery.
Right. And this is where you see these words go on this path of pejoration where they get more negative. So by the early 1800s, we also see cranky to refer to people who are difficult to please or ill-tempered.
Well, this one's going out to all the crotchety cranks who like to crochet. Thanks so much.
The language is always full of surprises.
Ann Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.